see by the video and probably pretty smart group, you notice this unusual portable baptistry we have up here this morning. We are, in fact, having a water baptism this morning. And for those of you that are being baptized, this is indeed an exciting day for you. And for those of us that have been baptized in the past, we should rejoice in this day as well for two reasons. One, fellow believers are coming forward and making a public statement today about their faith in God and Christ. And two, we're reminded as well about the statement we made at an earlier time and all that that meant to us or should have meant to us. So we look at water baptism. We're looking at it this morning a little bit. And water baptism is not something new, and it's not something new to just Christianity. It was not established just for Christianity. It's actually been around a long time before that. We are introduced to the gospel. When we are introduced to the gospel in the New Testament, we see early on an individual we know as John the Baptist. John came baptizing as a proclamation that the Messiah was, time of the Messiah was at hand, and repent and prepare yourself for him. And his baptism was just that, a call to repentance and a call of preparation for the Christ. And it was not something new then as either. The Jews had several baptisms and times they would baptize. They might baptize for a repentance. They might baptize as a ritualistic cleansing or for healing. But they knew that. And so when John came a little bit different, if you would, because of his proclamation of the Messiah. And we call him John the Baptist out of the Word of God. Some have referred to him as John the Immerser. And that's not entirely inaccurate, probably very, very accurate as well. And I want to start just with the basics. When we read baptize in the Scripture, when we think about water baptism, it helps us when we understand just what the Scripture means by it and what the understanding is. The word baptism in the Greek means to dip, to bury into, and to immerse. It means to be completely and wholly immersed and overwhelmed. It's not some small, significant thing, insignificant. And it's important, and we'll see as we go on. The word speaks of baptism in several, about seven different instances and in several ways, and all have the same understanding of immersion. The Bible speaks of John's baptism, as I mentioned, where he baptized people. It speaks of Christ being baptized, which is a rather significant event, and informs us of the importance of the baptism. It speaks of baptism in the suffering, baptism in the cloud and the sea, referring to the Israelites, baptism of the believer into Christ, baptism of the believer in water, as we have today, and baptism of the believer in the Holy Spirit. And when we speak of baptism, depending on our upbringing, depending on our background, we may have different understandings of it. Some of you might be like when I was a child, an infant, many moons ago. My parents chose to have me baptized in a certain denomination, and their method was a little sprinkling over your head. That's how they chose and still choose to do it. And it's a common practice in that denomination. But it's not a totally accurate understanding of the word baptism and the idea behind it. And of course, later on, when I finally truly accepted the Lord, then at some point I made that choice and was water baptized as we are this morning, or we're doing this morning by complete immersion. But I want you to think about baptism. I want you to think about the word baptism and all that it means. And I said it means immersion and complete immersion. Now, this summer has been extremely hot. It's one of those summers. We went from crazy rain to crazy heat. It's just been hot. And when it's this hot, it's what we call time to hit the pool. Amen? Now, when we go to the pool, we came back from vacation, the grandkids were in the pool. And when you go to the pool, there really are two type of people that go into swimming pools. And I always use this analogy because it helps me. We have those people that walk into the water and they go up to about their ankles or maybe their shins and they think about it for a while. The waiters, and they can back out if they want to, right? And then we have those people that I generally try to do is just, regardless of what the temperature is, I mean, they back in, test the water, is it too cold, is it warm, you know, and they back out. Well, the jumpers or the divers or the cannonballers, we just go all the way in, right? Now, how many of you are what you call waiters, the ankle people? How many would do that? Look at all those chickens out there. My, my, my. How many of you just go, boom, you jump in, there you go. I mean, you know, it's your own preference, I guess, but but we have those. And like I say, when you wade in, you're not completely immersed. Your ankles, maybe your shins if you're a little brave, you know, it's starting to test the waters, but you can back out. You're not totally committed. Those that dive in, those that go all the way under, regardless of the temperature, they're committed, right? And that's kind of the idea, but they also, you know, there's no turning back, and they are completely wet, their heads covered, totally under the water. They are immersed. And that's the understanding of baptism, this total immersion, complete immersion, completely holy wet. Now, Jesus commanded us to baptize and to be baptized, and listen to me out of Matthew chapter 28. And it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you as always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. Make disciples and baptize them or immerse them into Christianity. Make disciples and bring them fully immersed into the faith and into Christianity. He said that to the Jews of his day and to the people, all peoples and all nations. But what's important, not only what he said, but what he didn't say. He did not say, keep on what you're doing and add to that Christianity. He didn't tell the Jews of the day, continue on with what you've been doing, add to that this little new segment of Christianity. He said, immerse yourself in this new faith. Immerse yourself into Christ. Immerse yourself into Christianity. And an immerse yourself into that faith is to leave your old self behind and your old ways as well. To make a statement of, I am going to be sold out, if you would, to Christ. It's a complete acceptance of Christ and his lordship. There are all sorts of figures out there, 2.5 billion people in the world call themselves Christians. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, different ways they survey it. But the reality is, you know, you would ask yourself, how many people are totally immersed in their faith, sold out to God, and have Christ not just as their Savior, but as their Lord? That if he's your Lord, he is in charge of you, you do what he wants you to do, and you are totally submitted to him. And that's really kind of the understanding. And the interesting thing with Jesus is that for him, this immersion, this baptism, is a two-way street. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Jesus first baptized you into the body of Christ. Turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, if you're looking in the Bibles under your chair, your pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 760. Romans 6 and page 760. Now, in Romans here, Paul is writing about believers still practicing sin, still having sin in his life, and he tells us that while we sin, grace abounds towards us. There is always forgiveness when we sin, when we take it to Christ, and he's dealing with this issue of sin. And he continues on here after saying that in chapter 6, prior to that, he's talking about it. In 6, verse 1 and following, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace abounds? Certainly not. Or some translations say, God forbid. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? There's a lot of rich things happening here, but he's saying that we have died to sin and we have been baptized into Christ Jesus and baptized into his death. And that means that when you were accepted, when you accepted the finished work of Christ on the cross, you, when you were saved, you were immersed as you are and as you were into the body of Christ. That when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and you asked him to forgive you for your sins and you accepted the finished work on the cross, that you were fully accepted as a child of God and you were immersed or baptized into the body of Christ. Jesus did not say that he accepts your statement of faith but does not accept your faults. Because if that was the case, we'd all be in trouble. He doesn't say, I like your statement of faith, I like what you're saying, but you got a lot of junk in your life and I don't want anything to do with that. He doesn't say that at all. He does not say that you can come into God's family when, you know, until you get cleaned up. He says you come into God's family because of what he's done on the cross. That you are baptized into the body of Christ. You come to Christ with every problem you have, with every fault you have, with every sickness, with every addiction, with every issue you have that is keeping you away from God and from true freedom. He says, come to me as you are not partially accepted, you are immersed, baptized fully into the body of Christ. In fact, Ephesians tells us that you are accepted in the beloved. You are, if you were, immersed into the beloved body of Christ. Christ says, when you come to him as you are, then he will accept you and then change you. Come to him, and it's his job to cleanse you initially after salvation and this continuing process of what we call sanctification or this cleansing and changing of our lives. Come to him, he will heal you. Come to him, he will deliver you. He completely and fully accepts you just as you are. And for some of you, you should be shouting, amen. Amen? Actually, for every one of us, we should be jumping out of our seats and doing an amen dance. Thank you, Maury. I mean, Maury's good at that. Thank you. I knew he would do that. Somehow I just knew he would do that. He's got a little Maury jig going on there. But we should. Because with all our faults, with all our sin, with all our unbelief, everything we come into, Jesus says, I am baptizing you wholly and completely in the body of Christ. He doesn't wade you ankle deep into the body. Instead, I'll bring you along a little at a time. See, most of us a long time ago would have backed out if he'd have done that. When all the trials and the things came, he brings you into it. And he has great plans for you. Great, great ideas for you. And he accepts you as he baptized you into the body. Now, I want you to think of this water analogy again. And Jerry, would you come up here? Nancy, Maury, if you would come as please. I want to do a quick little analogy. Thank you, sir. Don't be afraid. We're going to dump you in the water without you knowing about it. No. No, just an analogy. Now, just imagine if all four of us were going swimming. It's hot out, and we're going to go to a really nice pool, maybe at a resort somewhere. I mean, let's make it nice if we're going to go. Where do we want to go? Hawaii?
Hawaii,
okay. But there's a nice pool in Hawaii. So, I mean, you know, we're going to go, and while we're there, we're all four of us are jumpers. We dive in. None of us here are waiters. We don't wade in. We don't play around. We're in that water, man. Either we're cannonball in, or we're dive in, or jump in. But all of us do it. We jump in at the same time. We get out of the pool. Now, all of us jumped in. All of us went completely underwater and came completely back out. Is Nancy more wet than me? Is Jerry more wet than Maury? It doesn't happen. We are all equally wet. We have different talents. We have different gifts. We have different functionings in the body of Christ. We are all in the body of Christ, but we are all equally immersed in the body of Christ. We have equal value to God. Equally accepted. Thank you. That's your little scare can be over. You weren't going to get dumped. Afraid to come by the water. See, and so we understand you are not partially accepted in the body of Christ. So when we think of this immersion and our statement today in water baptism that we are fully accepting Christ, fully submitted to him, he does that first. He says, I fully accept you. I fully accept you. And it's the beginning of understanding this equal value to God and all this immersion. And as I said, it's worth getting excited about. In fact, maybe next time the devil starts to trouble you or your own mind starts to trouble you, we need to be reminded of the fact that we are fully accepted. Next time you get insecure about your faith or insecure about your walk with God and maybe even some of your behavior and you say, well, I've not really lived like I should as a believer and you get all caught up in that, remind the enemy next time. God says, I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm fully immersed in Christianity. I am fully his child. So Romans 6 continues on here in verse 3. It says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, he's saying that when you've accepted Christ, that you were baptized in the body of Christ, fully accepted, fully embraced and immersed into the body of Christ, but that you literally, as far as heaven is concerned, died with him. And we'll see in a moment this wonderful symbolism of what we're doing with this outward statement of an inward belief in water baptism. But he said that you died with him and you were resurrected with him, and therefore, that old man that was dead, that old man that was a slave to sin, is no longer a slave to sin. Now that's probably the best news of the morning. All those things we had in our life, I can tell you story after story of all things that I had in my life that no matter how much it hurt me or hurt others around me, I continued on in them because of this, whatever, all the things we had in our lives and the things I did. And when I accepted Christ, finally I had the ability through Christ and with Christ to be free of those things. That sin no longer had dominion over me. It didn't capture me. It didn't carry me. Doesn't mean we don't struggle in those areas, but we have victory over them. You take a person that is a horrible sinner. You take a person that is a slave to sin. What's a slave? A slave is addicted. A slave has to obey this thing. So you take somebody that has a horrible addiction as an example in their life. When they die, they're no longer slave to that. They're no longer held to that addiction, whatever it may be. And whatever sin you had in your life, because you are dead in Christ, you are no longer held to that addiction of sin, whatever it may be. And so that's the good news with it. And Colossians 2 informs us that we are buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith. 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Fully baptized into Christ, fully baptized in his body, fully forgiven by Christ, fully made whole, and fully set free. It's a wonderful thing that God says and does in this Christianity that we know. The Bible tells us, as far as God is concerned, we were crucified with Christ, we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, and we have been resurrected with Christ. That's why the word says the old man is dead. Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. I don't know about you, but that's really good news. No longer guilty, no longer under strongholds, no longer a slave, a new creation in Christ. So when we decide to be obedient to Scripture and to be baptized, we are making a public statement about our intentions. For one, we are saying publicly that we believe in the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior. Chuck Colson points out this. He writes this, most Westerners, us, take baptism for granted. He said, but for many in the world, that act requires immense courage. In countries like Nepal, it once meant imprisonment. For Soviet or Chinese or Eastern Bloc believers, it was like signing their own death warrant. Any sort of Muslim country, and any Muslim that accepts Christ that gets baptized can be put to death. I remember Reverend Dennis Heber many years ago, long before 9/11, and he was over traveling overseas in a Muslim country, and he had a revival, and many came forward, accepted Christ, and there were some that not only accepted Christ, but then they had a water baptism. And so this one girl came forward, she accepted Christ, and that was her family didn't like that, but when she made this public statement of a water baptism, her family held a mock funeral. They said, you're dead to us, because they understood what that public statement was saying. They understood what that person was saying, how committed they were to Christ and what he meant to them. And to the Muslim faith, that was it. She was dead to them. We see people with all sorts of symbols. A wedding ring, for example, is an outward sign that a person is married. A military uniform is an outward sign that a person is involved in a particular branch of service. Water baptism, a symbol designed by God to identify people as a disciple of Christ. Now, I use this word symbol with caution to say it's just a symbol, takes away from the depth and the beauty of water baptism. Baptism is a symbol, but it's so much more than that. We say baptism, water baptism, is an outward sign of an inward belief. And think about what's happening here. We said, and we read in Romans, that Jesus died, was buried, and then he was resurrected. And we make that public statement in several instances, in several ways of what we're saying. We believe that we died with him. Literally, we're buried as if the old man is dead, go under the water if you're buried. It's also a symbol, if you would, of the cleansing of the blood of Christ. We come up out of the water, resurrected, if you will, like Christ, born again, made new. The old man is dead, and we have a new life. And so now you see this beauty of this full immersion of what Jesus is trying to establish in the Word of God here, of this symbolism. And we believe we were died, buried, we've come back, we belong to God. We are a child of God, and we are God's. And that's the signal of it. It's the symbolism of it. For one, it's a public statement. And for two, it's a declaration. We are declaring we intend to immerse ourselves in Christ and live completely for him. We declare that we are turning away from old habits and old way of life and immersing ourselves in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing to do. And for those of us that are being baptized this morning, that's the statement you're making. And for those of us that are watching and we're really participating because we're saying, we agree with this, and we remember when we did it, if you had in fact had. Water baptism, in essence, if you would, is a funeral. It's an act of faith in which we testify we're born to both to God and the world, that the person we were before is dead and buried, and we are raised a new creation in Christ. That our life doesn't belong to us, that we will serve God. And notice, I said it's an act of faith. Everything we do with God is done by faith. We come before him, declare that we're going to live for him and him alone, and we come before him and declare that, you know, we're done with our old ways, but that's where the faith comes in. We can only accomplish this if we continue to rely on Christ to enable us. We'll never do it on our own. I've watched many over the years that come into Christ and fully embrace Christianity. They're saved and they accept Christ, and then they allow, and they get water baptized and they follow him for a while, but then they allow things to come in their life and they drift, slowly away from God from whatever reason. And without that fully dependence on Christ, they're not able to fully serve God. And they soon drift from him, or they fall back in their own ways. Even that old man is dead, that you begin to get caught up once again in those old ways or the ways of the world that are pulling you. I don't think for a moment that I would have ever served God for all these years had I not remained fully submitted and committed to him. Doesn't mean that I never sin, and it doesn't mean that I don't struggle in some areas. But we are wholly dependent on God. We cannot do it on ourselves. And that's why I'm so grateful that God said, I and you are fully immersed, baptized into the body of Christ. But he accepts us and he challenges us and he cleanses us and he encourages us and he enables us to stay whole and well before him, moving forward in him in all things. And it's important to understand, while we are commanded in Scripture to be baptized, it is a command, it's not a requirement for our salvation. Some struggle with that, but it's not. Our salvation is complete in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the clearest example of this, the clearest way to understand this, is the crucifixion of Jesus. When Jesus was crucified, there were what? Two thieves, one on each side, we see depicted in Scripture. And the public was hurling insults at him, and the thieves were hurling insults at him. And the one thief finally figured, we can't do this. He is Lord, if you will. And he chastised the other thief. And he publicly acknowledged Christ, and Jesus did not say to him, Jesus, I wish I could get you baptized. And I'm not trying to be flip here. What did he tell him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. And so water baptism is a command of Scripture. It's a command of obedience. It's a statement of faith. It's something we should do, but it's not required for salvation. And I want to kind of make that clear there. Now, whenever I baptize, I'm always reminded of my experience. You know, prior to my salvation, my older brother, and I like to remind him that he's my older brother as often as I can, but anyway, my older brother was visiting us. He was just living out of state, and he was visiting us between Bible school years. He had a couple years of Bible school, and I hadn't seen him for some time. He lived out of state, and you know, I was not serving God at all. And so we were spending time with him, and he was talking about his faith, and we had some friends that were saved, and they'd come over, and to me, it was like all they ever talked about was Jesus. That's, you know, it was like, man, I don't care what you talk about. It's Jesus this and Jesus that. You could be talking about the sports, and somehow they turn around to Jesus. And I was, you know, whatever. And so I remember him, you know, I was listening, and actually I would stay up for hours sometimes at night arguing with my brother. And I've shared some of that in the past about faith and his expression of faith. But I remember when he started to share with me about being water baptized. Now, we've been born and raised in a denomination, been sprinkled as a baby, and he's telling me that he's now saved, and he got this total immersion of water. Well, I thought he was nuts. I was upset. What are you, crazy? You did what? You went all, what are you doing all that for? And it made no sense to me, and I argued with him about it. I thought he was going to shave his head and stand on the street corner somewhere next. You know, it's like, this guy's wacky. Well, maybe 5-6 months later, I accept the Lord. And within a very short period of time, maybe weeks after my salvation, even if I didn't fully understand it, when I saw the commandment to be water baptized, I wanted to be water baptized. I couldn't wait. Why? Change of heart. Change of insight. Eyes opened up to the truth, the knowledge of Christ. And of course, I learned about it before I was baptized. Excuse me, then I was grateful then to be water baptized. See, it's important to fully understand the scripture, but to be embracing it and know as well that God changes our heart. So there's a requirement, really, for you to be baptized today. The first is you must be saved. It's an outward sign or symbol of his inward belief, an outward sign of a decision you've already made and now declaring that you're going to live for Christ. And it's not simply getting wet. I mean, we take baths or showers all the time. We've all gone swimming. Baptism is this wonderful experience given us by God and supported by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there is a change, and that's our outward sign of saying there's change in our life. There's an old story, a quote, if you would. I'm going to read part of it. It's a, kind of a quirky little thing, but it's all right. It'll make sense as we listen to it. But it's an example that helps us understand the meaning of this baptizo in a text from a text that is taken from a Greek poet and physician, Nicander, who lived about 200 years before Christ. It's a recipe for making pickles, and it's helpful because it uses both words of, that we get baptism from. Nicander says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable first should be dipped, bapto, in a boiling water, and then baptized in the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution, but the first is temporary. The second, the act of baptizing the vegetable produces a permanent change. And that's what the wording in the New Testament is trying to tell us. That we're not saying that the water is going to change us, but that Christ has changed us. And there is a permanent change in our life. That this is different now, that we know Christ in a full way. And for those of us that have served God for a great length of time, and for those of you that may have been like me that had many years before Christ that I did not serve him, I know the difference. And I know the permanent change. In fact, I remember going to church shortly after I got saved, and I remember thinking, just being struck that there were people there that had served God, had been saved for 20, 25, 30 years. And I remember thinking, wow, that's just amazing to see in them the depth. And it struck me at the time. There was this permanent change. There's another story. A fellow named William Barker tells of a machinist years ago at the Ford Motor Company in Detroit who became a Christian. He responded to the invitation to be saved, and he got baptized, and then the Holy Spirit began renewing this man. He became convicted of his need to make restitution for parts and tools he'd stolen from the company prior to being a Christian. So the next morning, he brings all the tools and all the parts back to his employer and explained how he'd just been baptized and asked for the foreman's forgiveness. It was such an amazing turn of events that to Mr. Ford, who was visiting a plant in Europe at the time, they cabled him the details of this matter and asked his response, what do we do with this guy? And Ford immediately returned to cable with his decision. He says, dam up the Detroit River and baptize the entire city. I like that. You know, if that's what baptism to this guy, we all need it, is what he's saying. He's acknowledging the change in this person. So now at the close here, we're going to have a baptism in just a moment. And I want us to understand this whole idea of this immersion, the statement that we're making. You know, Jesus came first, and he came with mercy. The Bible says he's coming again, and he's coming again with judgment. And we stand, if you would, in between, fully accepted in the beloved, fully committed in serving him, and fully intent on bringing others into the body of Christ and sharing this faith as well. John the Baptist, John the Immerser, he lived in poverty. He ate locusts and honey and had simple clothing. And it was as if it would a symbol of poverty and without Christ. And Christ said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. John was beheaded. And why do you think John was beheaded? John was beheaded because he declared people needed to repent. He told people that you needed to change. People don't like to hear that. People don't like that kind of statement, so they eventually beheaded him. But the reality is, we all need to hear it. We all need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. We all need to proclaim that Christ is our Lord. And so this moment, actually I'm going to invite you all to stand for a minute and invite the worship team to come forward. Excuse me. For those that are being baptized, I want you to come up here and stand by the pool. Jack is a member of the board. Jack's going to help me this morning. Jack Richardson, if you'd come as well. And so as we get ready to be baptized folks this morning, those that are being baptized, come up and stand up here. Jack, you can take your shoes off if you want or whatever. If you're being baptized, take your shoes and socks off. I'm going to de-mic here so we don't...